if you would, with me, open up your Bible to the book of Mark, and then we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you give us wisdom. Solomon asked of you for wisdom. We ask of you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We thank you, Father, that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. And we know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for us. We thank you, Father, that your word is being engrafted onto us. It is becoming a part of us. We are becoming more like you, imitators of our Heavenly Father, doing and saying and being the people that you have called us to be. We thank you, Father, for it right now. We ask right now that you would use my tongue as the pen of the ready writer, speaking forth the oracles or the word of God onto people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will look at Mark chapter 9, and this is where we started. We've been talking about the faith of Jesus and what does it mean to have the faith of Jesus. Okay? So Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's meeting with Elijah and Moses. And they're discussing, it says it's his exodus from the planet, his departure. So they're talking about his departure. And he comes down and his disciples have been presented with a man and his son. The son has a demonic thing going on where it tosses him in water, tosses him in fire, and it's constantly trying to kill him. And the disciples pray for him and nothing happens. And then Jesus comes along and he coddles them and says, well, you know, it's okay. No, in verse 19, he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Now, he's not being insulting. He's just pointing out that they don't have faith for this. Because if you don't have faith for something, you're faithless, right? Are we faithless concerning salvation? No. We're full of faith concerning salvation. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And the Word of God tells me in Romans that anyone who believes on the name of the Lord Jesus shall not be ashamed. So I'm not going to leave this world ashamed not having known him. A lot of times, you know, people will say to me, well, you know, we're confused about some of the things that I talk about. And I should take that as a compliment. Because Peter said that Paul's writings were confusing. And I teach a lot of Paul. There's no earning of salvation. There never was. Salvation is always a gift. It's always received by faith. There's no other way to be saved. I can't be good enough. You can't be good enough. But the point is, once we obtain salvation, then we're supposed to be in the Word of God and start acting on the Word of God and becoming more like Him. And those are righteous acts. Anyway, that was all just to clarify that he wasn't being a bully. Then they brought him to the boy, and when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed in him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Here again, you know, we talked about, we spent a whole week talking about the if as the badge of doubt. If I can do this, or if I had done that, or if, then we're always going back and we're reliving in the past. If I had only done this differently, then we're living our entire lives in a place of doubt instead of moving forward. So Jesus puts the if back over on the man. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. This is the faith of Jesus. All things are possible to him who believes. That leaves nothing out. So there's nothing that is impossible if you believe. Does that guarantee immediate results? No. If it did, Abraham and Sarah would have been in their 70s when the promise was made to them about having a son. Immediately the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, I believe what you're saying is true, but I'm having a hard time applying it to my life. I need your help. So this is another instance of the grace of God. I spoke on Wednesday night about the grace of God and how that the grace of God is literally God's strength helping us. His grace lifts us up so that we can accomplish and do what he's called us to do. It's not an excuse. Well, I've got grace. Right? We talked about that, pointed out some things and said, wow, if this is grace, Paul got it wrong. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose. And when he had come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast this out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, when we get to that point, what does prayer and fasting do? Prayer and fasting are two things that we use to draw close to God. They're tools that we have for drawing near to him. In fasting, we're doing what you said. We're cleansing off the flesh. We're cleansing off doubt because we're drawing close to him. In prayer, we're spending time with him. So what does Jesus do all the time? He even says to his disciples, could you not tarry 1 hour with me in prayer? So faith, if the first time I came in here and I had, let's say, hidden a purple elephant, stuffed elephant in the piano and said, the first time I was in here, there's a purple elephant in the room. People would have thought, oh, we made a mistake. We hired a crazy person. There is no purple elephant in the room. And then I go over and open the piano and pull out the purple elephant. Well, you don't have faith because now most of you know me well enough that if I say there's a purple elephant in the room, you'd be like, where? I know it's here somewhere. Dating is one way that two people get to know each other, right? The more you're with a person, the more you believe the things that they're telling you. The more trust you have in them. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more faith we have in him, the more trust we have in him. The more time we spend learning about our Heavenly Father, the more we have faith in him. Okay? So that's where the prayer and fasting part comes in. Let's continue now. Hebrews chapter 12. We're talking about the faith of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll go ahead and read verse 1 with it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, or the originator and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy... The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One of the first things I said when I started this series was Jesus raised from the dead by faith. How? He looked in the scripture and he saw that the Son of Man had to suffer and die but would be raised again. We know that he had faith for that because when he was talking to his disciples, he said, this temple will be torn down and after 3 days it'll be raised up again. So he knew and he had faith when he went to the cross. So the joy set before him, come on, nobody wants to go hang on a cross. I don't want to get spanked once, much less get, 40 lashes across the back, have a crown of thorns put on my head, be spit on and ridiculed and made fun of. But Jesus looked to the joy that was set before him concerning the events that were to proceed and that was before him, because on the other side of the testing, on the other side of the persecution, on the other side of that tribulation, on the other side, there was a resurrection. On the other side, there was a resurrection. And then he's the firstborn from the grave. He's the first fruits from the grave. He is the festival of first fruits in the spring. See, when Jesus came the first time, he completely fulfilled the spring festivals, the spring feasts, the appointed times of God. Now he's coming again, and he's going to fulfill the fall feasts. We're getting ready to enter into the fall feasts right now. Do you guys know what's happening? So we had this solar eclipse over all of America, and now coming up in September at Rosh Hashanah, there's going to be in the sign the great woman in the heavens, clothed with the stars. In Revelation, is happening on Rosh Hashanah this year. I'm not a date setter. I'm not saying that's the rapture. But what I'm saying is we are in the times of the signs in the heavens. These are the times that are foretold. These are the times that are prophesied that are going to happen before the Lord returns. The sun will be turned to dark. The moon to blood. We had four blood moons just a couple years ago. We've got the woman clothed with stars and a crown on her head coming up. Come on. These are things that are all precede the return of the Lord. Now is not a time for us to draw back, but to continue and push forward in having faith. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he saw you. And he saw you. And he said, "For you, I will do this. Because I want you. I love you. I need you in my Father's house. For you, I will do this." It was the joy that was set before him. When we do something by faith, there's not always, I'm just excited about this whole process I'm going through. Because it's hard. I can tell you that going through the process again, always going through the process. There's an always going through the process, different levels of going through the process. Where is our faith when we're going through the process? When somebody puts you in the tribulum and they're going to find out how much juice is in you. When they're going to put you on the threshing floor and all the chaff has to blow away. Our faith has to be in Jesus. Our faith has to be in the Word of God. Well, that was free for you today. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's the one who originates faith to begin with. He's the originator, the author. Oh, I know this isn't popular, but my favorite author is J.K. Rowling. I'm telling you, nobody can tell a story like her. You start reading in her books, man, and I'm telling you what, it's like being sucked into a vortex. I mean, you see everything the way that she's painting it. That's the way God is with his word. He has created this image that when we start to read it and we start to delve into it, man, the depth of what's there, the understanding that's available to us, the life that he's trying to get into us. I mean, his words, I love J.K. Rowling, but her words are not life. Only the word of God is life. Jesus, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1 is another one of those Aleph Tav moments that Teresa spoke about last week. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, Elohim. Then there's untranslatable little note of an A and a T. The Aleph Tav. The beginning and the end. In the beginning, Elohim created. Aleph Tav. The word. Aleph Tav, and when we look at Aleph Tav, it's the entirety of the Hebrew alphabet. It is all of the Word of God. In the beginning, the Word created. Jesus is the Word. Oh, I love that. He's the Aleph Tav. He's the Word. In the beginning, the Word. John starts his gospel with, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's one of the most beautiful things about the Gospel of John, is it looks to the very beginning. It looks to Jesus as the Word of God, the written Word, the living Word, the eternal Word, and portrays him in that manner, that Jesus is the very essence of God. God is faith. If God was not faith, if anything he said would have just fallen to deaf ear if he did not have faith. God is a God of faith. Who lives on the inside of you? God. God dwells in us. We are his temple, not made with human hands. We're his temple. We're his abiding place. The Word of God lives in us. Therefore, we have the faith of God in us. All things are possible to us who believe, leaving nothing to be impossible. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation is a fun book. A couple of years ago, I started looking at Revelation a little bit differently. And those letters that Jesus sends to the seven churches, they're just like any parent. Listen, you're doing this right, you're doing this right, but you need to fix this area in your life. Otherwise, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. They're love letters. They're Jesus, the head of the church, speaking to the church, saying, you got this, you got that, you're doing this, but you need to fix this, you need to fix that, you need to retune this. Right? It's a love letter. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Where does the faith of Jesus come from? It comes from the Word of God. The faith of Jesus is the Word of God. We can say his commands, or we can say his instructions. We could say what's written in the Word. The faith of Jesus comes from this right here. When we have this, and we have this in our hearts, and we keep it in our hearts, and we make it a part of us, then we become like him. We have him in us. This grafts into us. The Word of the living God grafts into us, and then we become more like him. By faith, Jesus walked and lived by faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. It is the patience of those who are of faith to obey the Word of God and to follow Jesus, to live his example, to live his life. I love Peter. He's in a boat. Jesus comes walking up to him on the water. Bid me to come, Lord, and I'll come out too. Well, come on out. I mean, he doesn't even think twice about it. He just gets out, starts walking on the water. And then what happens? He starts being aware of his circumstances. He's not walking by faith anymore, is he? Now he's walking by sight. And when we walk by sight, we're going to sink and drown. Jesus took him by the hand, and they both walked back to the boat. Our affections, our eyes, have to be on Jesus and living by faith, not by living by what we see. It's easy, trust me, to get caught up in the flesh. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Start in verse 6. The righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. Verse 8, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Faith is of the heart. What's in the heart, the mouth speaks. If I'm a good tree, I'm going to bring forth good fruit. Isn't that what Jesus said? If I'm a bad tree, I'm going to bring forth bad fruit. But I'm a good tree, so I'm bringing forth good fruit. Occasionally, some bad fruit might pop out. But a good tree does not make a habit of producing bad fruit. But a bad tree cannot make good fruit. Just the same, well, let's look. Luke 6:43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of what's inside. What's inside of us? What are we putting inside of us? Are we putting in the good fruit? Or are we putting in the evening news? I don't even watch news. I mean, I get news just, it's so contentious all the time. I get enough just, you know, looking at people posting stuff on Facebook about what's going on. My only concern is what's going on in the spirit realm. My concern is what's going on in Israel. Because Israel is the fig tree. And Jesus said, you watch that fig tree. When it begins to bring forth sprouts and begins to bear fruit again, you watch it, for you know that the end is near. Now, no nation has ever ceased to be a nation and then began again after almost 2,000 years, as was prophetically announced by Jesus himself and throughout the old, what we call the Old Testament, that the nation would be scattered and then brought back again. Never have you seen ever in history a language go dead and then brought back to life the way that we've seen with the Hebrew language. Israel is the fig tree. To me, that's the most important thing. There's lots of stuff going on in the world. Too much. Bible says there are many voices in the world and none without importance. But focus on the voices that are important. The most important voice is the Word of God. What are we putting into ourselves? See, that's how you know that I know what I'm in the Word of God over the evening news. I'm watching Israel. I'm watching the prophetic nations. I'm watching the descendants of Shem. Semites. Anti-Semites. You know what's interesting is that an anti-Semite always means an anti-Jewish person, but an anti-Semite is actually somebody who's anti-Shem, the descendants of Shem. I won't get into all that. But the descendants of Shem come down, and they're Abraham, and then his descendants, including Ishmael. So it's all of that family that is really the issue. The descendants of Ishmael are the Arab nations that are mostly the Muslim nations now, and they have their prophet coming. Isn't that exciting? Do you know what they call him? The Mahdi. Do you know what his big success will be? Dividing Israel. He has all the same characteristics of the scriptural Antichrist. Uh-oh. Now you know where to look. Luke 6:47-49. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Our faith has to be built on the solid rock, the foundation of Scripture. Foundation is Scripture. Jesus is the chief cornerstone set on the foundation of the law and the prophets. What is the foundation of our faith? The law and the prophets. If we don't set everything on that foundation, then what is our foundation? It's just sand. And when times come and tribulations come, and we're not built on that good foundation, we're just washed away. But if our foundation is set on the solid foundation of the law and the prophets, that's just the Old Testament, right? Then that's where our foundation is set. So when somebody says something to you, you're not easily blown astray. You won't start thinking, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I suppose that could be right. Well, love would do that. Grace, love is found in the foundation. And if our foundation isn't in the law and the prophets, if our faith isn't built on the faith that Jesus had, what did Jesus study? Jesus studied the law and the prophets. He found himself in the Scripture. The New Testament wasn't written when Jesus was a boy. It wasn't written until about 70 AD. The letters began to circulate and were kept. There was no New Testament. We're talking about 9 years after Jesus' ascension. Paul had an encounter on the road to Damascus. And then after that, he spent 14 years in the desert studying the Scriptures without the lens that had been given to him by the Pharisees and the priests that came before him, so that he could find Jesus for himself in the Scriptures. And then he wrote letters that magnified and exalted and showed us from the Old Testament Jesus. The foundation is essential. Without a good foundation, in Alaska, how many feet down? They dig like 30 feet down in the foundation, past all of the permafrost and down into the bedrock, because in 1964 on Good Friday there was a 9.4, 9.6 earthquake that destroyed many towns in Alaska. Alaska has one of the most stringent requirements on foundation building. So now when you're in a newer house built in Alaska, you can have a 6.4 earthquake and hardly even know that anything happened. I was down in the garage and I could feel it down there. There was a 6.4 earthquake, and this is due to foundation. They're two steps above me in the living room and felt nothing. They went down to the foundation. When we have a good foundation and our faith is built in the Scripture and when the door is closed, wait in the hallway until God opens a window. Jesus said, knock, ask, seek. I don't wait in hallways in the dark. I'm a child of light. My faith is built on the foundation of Scripture. My faith is built on the foundation of the Word of God. So when somebody says something to me that's contrary or contradictory to the Word of God, I could sit there and be right all day long and not have to say anything. Unless I'm asked. Because my faith is built on the foundation, on the solid foundation. And when people tell me I have to be a certain way, if it's contradictory to the Word of God, no, I don't. I don't have to accept things. I don't have to accept. I posted a video yesterday. I just love this video. It's about the dinosaurs. And they're actually find in Alaska and different places like that, soft tissue. And what is that? The collagen. Collagen still in the bones of dinosaurs that were supposedly extinct millions of years ago. Collagen will only last in the bones and in the body no more than 90,000 years at 40 degrees. So how is it possible that these animals who went extinct... Again, I go back to if our faith isn't built in Scripture and we're just moved by whatever people tell us or whatever science tells us or whatever your mother tells you or whatever, I don't care who told you, if it's contradictory here, then it's not a good foundation. My foundation is here. In the beginning, Elohim, the Aleph Tav, the word, created. On the first day he did this, on the second day he did that. And I don't, whether you believe in a literal 6-day creation, or if you believe in a year as a thousand years as a day as a thousand years, then it was a 6,000 year creation. I'm fine with that too. But I believe the scriptural encounter. I believe what God said about it. I believe, because if I don't believe that, then where's my faith that Jesus was going to come and that he was going to live and he was going to be persecuted and he was going to die? Then, you know, my faith only begins right there. That's a good place if you've never been familiar with Scripture. But beyond that, we have to build the rest of our faith in Scripture. Otherwise, we don't really know that he's coming again. Jesus said, he said to the Pharisees, he says, you guys can look out and you can see that the sky says it's time for harvest, but you couldn't look at the times and the seasons that you were in and know that it was the time for the Son of Man to come. Idioms. An idiom is a saying. Okay? When Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father, there's a feast for that. Did you know that? There's a Jewish Moedim. It's one of the fall feasts, and it's the feast we call the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah. No man knows the day or the hour, because it could start on either one of 2 days. But you don't know until the new moon is sighted. And then once the new moon is actually sighted, then you can go out and you can blow the trumpet. I don't know what year, but I'm relatively certain that no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father who's in heaven. And Paul said, at the last trumpet sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and then we which we remain will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be joined together with them in the sky. Come on, I believe that. I believe it's going to happen at Yom Teruah, at Rosh Hashanah. I believe that. I don't know what year. Could be this year, could be next year, could be 3 years from now. I don't know. Lord, I hope it's sooner than that. You know what I'm saying? I just hope it's sooner than that. I'm looking forward to that changed body. Why do I believe that? Because Scripture tells me that we will put off these earthly tents and we'll put on a glorified body. I believe that. I believe that just like I believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and he did it in 6 days. I believe that when he created everything that was created, that along with that, he created the dinosaurs. I believe there were dinosaurs on the ark. Now, not all dinosaurs are big, but if you look at the ark, they did an ark encounter thing. It's in Kentucky. They built a guy built this literal building of the ark on its actual size. And inside the ark, they have all of the animals, according to what God said, and it includes dinosaurs. I mean, what about unicorns? I don't know. The Bible's not real specific about unicorns, sweetheart. But if there were, I'm sure there was. All right? All right. Has this helped you? Does this help? I mean, come on. If our faith isn't built on Scripture, then what is our faith built on? It's built on sand. And we are in the end of times, honey, and I don't want anybody to have their faith built on sand. That's my call, is to prepare a people getting ready for the return of the Lord. That's my call. That is the call of this church, is to prepare people for the return of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Oh, we glorify and magnify your word. You said you exalt your word above your name. Father, we thank you for your word. I ask that you would engraft it in every single one of us today. I thank you, Father, that as we go forward this week, we will continue to dwell and meditate, as you told Joshua, meditate and dwell on the word of God, that we would keep it ever before our faces, that we would keep it in our hearts. We love you. We bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.